Well, good morning. Please do sit down. Before we look at that familiar passage from Matthew's Gospel, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we ask as we focus on these verses this morning, please help us to listen to what you have to say through your Holy Spirit. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Now, both Matthew and Luke are the only gospel writers who actually record the birth of Jesus, but they record it in different ways. For example, Luke tells us of the shepherds who were the first responders. They acted positively by praising God and spreading the good news that they heard about and what they'd seen and heard. Matthew similarly gives us a positive response from the Magi, which is then contrasted with the negative response of King Herod. This morning, we're actually going to focus on the Magi, who could not have been more different from the shepherds. As far as we can tell, the Magi were probably the astrologer priests from the Persian Empire. Intellectually, the shepherds were simple folk, whereas the Magi were educated scholars, wise men from the East. Socially, the shepherds belonged to the world of the have-nots, whereas the Magi, judging from the gifts they brought, were both wealthy and influential. Yet despite these barriers of race, intellect and social standing, they were united in their worship of the new King Jesus. So as we look at this passage, I want us to ask three questions. Those are, what do we actually know about the Magi? How did they come to be in Bethlehem? What can they teach us for everyday living in this 21st century? So first, who were the Magi? Well, we have a few clues in the biblical references to them to understand who they were. But sadly, it can be difficult to separate the fact from the fiction. During the second century, a legend developed that they were kings and assumed that there were three of them because of the three gifts. The only legitimate facts we know about these Magi are in the opening verses of Matthew's Gospel. We don't know the number, we're not told the names, or the means of transport, or the specific countries they came from. We assume they came from the East, as the Magi were known as the priestly political class of the Parthian tribe who lived east of Palestine. The name Magi came to be associated with the hereditary priesthood, became skilled in astronomy, the science of the stars, and astrology, which essentially is superstition. In their day, the two were very closely linked together. They had a sacrificial system similar to the one that God had given the ancient Israelites. It is instinctively as if they knew they had fallen short of what God wanted. And it's from the name Magi that we get the words magic and magician. And like the Israelites, they believed in one God. They're monotheistic. Because their combined knowledge of wisdom and their political influence grew until they became the most powerful group of advisors in the Medo-Persian Empire. Historians tell us that no Persian could ever become king until they'd mastered the scientific disciplines of the Magi. And only then, once approved by the Magi, were they crowned king. They were truly king makers. We read the Magi came to see Jesus, but they've been strongly influenced by Judaism, may even have been familiar with some of the prophetic writings, in particular the book of Daniel. So next, how did they come to be in Bethlehem? We're not told how God informed the Magi that the King of the Jews was about to be born, only that he gave them a sign, which was the star. Now, amongst astronomers over the years, this has been the source of much speculation. It might have been the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, which happened three times in 7 BC, or a supernova, a dying star, that gives off light for weeks or maybe months ahead. Or it could have been the erratic comet similar to Halley's, which whizzed by in about 7 BC. Since the Bible doesn't tell us or identify or explain the star, we cannot be specific on its definitive origin. But regardless of the source, the Magi rightly concluded that an important royal birth had taken place in Palestine, which called for a state visit. Their journey probably took many months and required quite a large desert caravan, particularly when you add on all the support staff, the servants, the cooks, the bottle washers, the security detail, and the animals, both for transport and also to be eaten en route. According to the internet, that caravan could have been anywhere between 500 and 2,000 camels. Imagine what that would have done to Jerusalem afterwards, all the residue left over. But let's not go there. But back to the narrative. As the Magi were looking for a potential king, they go to the capital city, Jerusalem, and start asking, where is he who's born to be king of the Jews? What we see initially is that nobody seemed to know anything about it. That is, until Herod, the ruling leader, and with others, became greatly disturbed. Now that's hardly surprising when you look at Herod's background. He'd killed off most of his contenders, including members of his close family. He calls together the chief priests and teachers of the law, who remember the ancient prophecy in the book of Micah, and correctly identify Bethlehem as the likely birthplace. So off the Magi trek to find the new king. When they eventually trek him down, they bow down and worship the child King Jesus. They did not do as Herod requested and return to him, as they were warned in a dream that Herod's evil intentions, so they returned home by a different route. Their sacrificed endurance is a profound testimony to the impact of having seen and worshipped the child King Jesus, the true King of the Jews, and the hope of Gentile seekers like us. What makes Matthew's account so striking is the contrast of the military strength of King Herod compared with the vulnerability of the young child, Jesus, born to be king. So what, you might ask, can we learn from this account for everyday living in the 21st century? Well, first we see God working through the minds of the Magi to ensure his predictions come true. God uses these wise men by putting something in their area of interest so they realize a royal birth was about to happen. Secondly, their actions show they're true seekers after God, because they heard, recognized, and responded. Despite their paganism and superstition, they recognize God's voice and respond to him when he caught their attention. They also recognize God's light when it guided them in the form of a star. And lastly, they had seeking hearts, and the Lord promises that seeking hearts will never, never fail to find him. So we also need that same seeking attitude before God to draw close to him so he can reveal his plans for each of us and his purposes. Maybe this morning God's caught your attention, or that of a family member or a friend has recently expressed an interest over Christmas, over the Christmas story, when you're wondering what to say. Well, the answer is be like the Magi, who were seeking people and wanted to know more about the God they worship. They had open minds and sought the truth. After their step-by-step progression, followed each time by recognition and obedience, they found the Lord Jesus. And for anyone who follows that pathway, the same is true for us today. At its most fundamental level, Matthew teaches us that Jesus' arrival in history brings salvation to his people and us, and requires that we give ourselves to him in a sacrificial way. As we reflect on this account in Matthew, let's pray that will be true for each of us as we journey through 2024. Let me close in prayer. May the God who guided the wise men to worship his Son guide each of us on our journey this coming year. Lord, please help us to be open to your leading, responsive to your prompting, and give ourselves to you in a sacrificial way as we journey through 2024. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.